said I was sober and you said yeah right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. You took my hand and we pretended like I was your guy. Whoa, and I tried to guess your middle name for 30 minutes, but we played that game. That mango reader you were drinking and that Coldplay song that you were singing. And I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do. From your blue jeans to your shoes, girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable.
Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Friday too many Palestinians have been killed in Israel strikes on Gaza. Dr. Tanya Hajjassan with Doctors Without Borders says
every day we reach a new low in human catastrophe, human 100% man-made catastrophe.
Senior IDF official tells ABC News that Hamas has positioned its capabilities in, around, and beneath hospitals. The White House says reestablishing military lines of communication will be a key goal for President Biden's meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping next week. Today, the president will take part in several Veterans Day events as the nation honors those who have served. And the University of Michigan's filed a complaint asking a court to prohibit the Big Ten Conference from going forward with its three-game suspension of football coach Jim Harbaugh, saying there's a risk of irreparable harm if Harbaugh is not allowed to coach in today's game against Penn State. He was suspended for violating the sportsmanship rule. This is ABC News. As federal agents investigate contributions to the campaign of New York City Mayor Eric Adams, including some from the Turkish government, we're learning the FBI took two iPhones and an iPad from the mayor. The confiscation part of the probe that began with a raid of the home for one of his fundraisers who was not arrested. Mayor says he's done nothing wrong. The Alaska Airlines pilot charged with attempted murder after allegedly trying to crash a flight last month is speaking publicly.
Now former Alaska Airlines Captain Joseph Emerson says he was suffering a panic attack after a weekend with friends in which he tried psychedelic mushrooms, that he was overcome with a feeling that he was in a dream and had to take action to wake up from that dream when he pulled the handles to kill the airplane's engines. Emerson gave a jailhouse interview to the New York Times. He said he thought crashing would wake him up from that dream. He was a leader at Alaska Airlines and had a lifelong passion for aviation, saying he is horrified that his actions put others at risk. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A Wisconsin grand jury has indicted a Connecticut man accused of scamming older Wisconsinites. Consumer watchdogs have some tips to avoid being ripped off. Here's Mike Moan.
Matthew Ramos Soto of Hartford is accused of stealing $200,000 from Wisconsin seniors last year. The scam was to call the victims, falsely claim to be representing one of their younger relatives who had been arrested, and that bail money was needed. The Better Business Bureau's Kristen Johnson says disengaging right away can help people avoid this kind of scam.
Put down the phone, hang it up, and call your grandchild. Do not call the number on your caller ID, because scammers can spoof caller IDs. They can spoof names and numbers. Actually call that grandchild and say, did you really just call me? Are you really in trouble?
Other ways people can remain vigilant are to ask questions of the scammer that only a family member can answer, and to not wire money if there is any doubt about the call. Johnson urges anyone who's been a victim to report it on the Better Business Bureau scam tracker. Ramos Soto faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in federal prison if convicted. Though older adults are some of the more likely targets for scams like this, they're not the most susceptible to them, with experts pointing to vulnerability among those ages 18 to 24. Still, Johnson notes there are big concerns about the impact on older populations.
So while older adults were less likely to fall for scams when targeted, when they did fall for them, they lost a lot more money than someone ages 18 to 24.
Around 74% of adults age 55 and older are susceptible. In 2022, this population lost around $350 on average per scam. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
This Veterans Day from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., it's the second annual Pig Roast for homeless veterans. Prices are $20 per plate, with a piglet plate for $10 for those 3 to 12 years old. And children 2 and under eat free. There will be raffles from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And there will be a special appearance from Pitmaster Dusty Warner. That's November 11th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Cabaret Cove in Brighton.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The last time the Packers won a game in Pittsburgh was over 50 years ago, December 1970. Bart Starr still the quarterback. The Steelers had a rookie quarterback out of LSU who only completed 3 of 20 passes and 4 interceptions. His name? Terry Bradshaw. Today, the Steelers quarterback is from Pitt, Kenny Pickett, who talked about the Packers' defense.
They're really strong up front. They got, I think, you know, it all starts in the trenches. I think they got a great, you know, front four. They do some different things. Their linebackers are really aggressive, run well. Some veteran safeties that make a lot of plays on the ball, and some of their zone coverage have some really good instincts for the ball.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love says he'll have to keep an eye on the Steelers linebacker, T.J. Watt, from Wisconsin.
T.J.'s a great player, plays with, like, really good effort on every play, and I think their whole defense does a good job of that. So something we got to be able to match that.
That's Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance of snow today, otherwise overcast. Highs around 40, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Mixed precipitation likely. Lows around 32. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 48. Dry with temperatures above average Monday and Tuesday, and highs from the upper 40s to the lower 50s. Another look at the short range. A high of 40 today. Lows level off around 32 tonight. We should top off around 48 tomorrow. A dusting of snow tonight. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 33.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Al Clair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. We got a good one for you. We're going to talk about the future of waterfowl hunting, and is the commercialization of waterfowl good for duck hunting? Is what's happening with guide services good or bad? You could argue both sides of it. We got a really good discussion with Joe Genzel from Ducks Unlimited coming up later in the show that you're going to want to listen to. We'll also talk to Joe Henry as the Lake of the Woods area transitions from that fall hunting time and the open water fishing season as the resorts get ready for the hard water. We'll talk about what's going on up there right now and what you can go do if you want, or what you need to do to prepare for the ice fishing season. And Dan and David have both been doing some deer hunting. We'll get their perspectives on what's going on in the woods here in just a second. But first, Dan, who are the sponsors this week?
This week we have Live Target, Match Hatch, LiveTargetLures.com, Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital. Plan a trip for this winter at LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at HaybaleHeights.com. Otter Tail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at OtterTailLakesCountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman, the new season starts in January, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
All right, David Eckhart joins us here on the show, too. David, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right, welcome back. We haven't had you in the studio for a while.
It's been a while.
It's good to have you back. You're all done with the harvest?
Yep, harvest is done. And
the crop harvest, I should say. Now it's the animal harvest
time. Yes, now it's time to chase deer and ducks and geese and everything else.
And you said you've been hunting for 11 days straight?
Yes.
All right. I want to ask you about that and how it's been going for you, Dan. You got to hunt the Minnesota gun opener. I want to ask you about that. As of this recording, I've probably finally climbed into a tree, but this will be after we recorded this. So as of this recording, I have not deer hunted yet. I hope to this week. I just got back from a 10-day road trip. Actually went out to Horicon Marsh, and it's kind of this legendary historic waterfowl staging area in southeast Wisconsin, kind of south of Lake Winnebago, over in that Fond du Lac, Waupun area. And it's really neat. And here's what I learned while I was out there. There's not much for geese out there yet. And while it used to be this huge staging area, in fact, Horicon had their own goose hunting zone. They don't have it anymore. And part of that reason is because the geese don't really go there like they used to. Obviously, there's still going to be some, but I'm hearing that from a lot of different historic goose staging areas. What's going on? We're going to talk about that with Joe Genzel here in a little bit. What I did see, though, were 10,000 sandhill cranes. So the eastern population of cranes is booming. You can't hunt them in Wisconsin yet. You can't hunt them in Minnesota. But anybody that drives through the central part of Minnesota or really anywhere in Wisconsin from the northwest down to the southeast, you know there are a ton of sandhill cranes around, and it was really cool seeing all those cranes out there. Got to see some whooping cranes, which is really rare. Filmed it for the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel and learned a little bit about some of these whooping cranes that are out there, and I'll put that on our YouTube channel. And you guys, I really wasn't too interested in pheasant hunting while I was over there at Horicon Marsh.
What? You're not interested in pheasant hunting?
That doesn't sound like
you. Isn't that weird?
That's what I just heard.
So they release birds out there on the state side and offer public hunting opportunities, you know, and I'm not a, you know, I've been to game farms and it's got its place out there for pheasant game farms for, it's got its place and time, but it's not really for me. So I never really thought it'd be much fun to go shoot pheasants that are released out there at Horicon. Well, then I did it and learned a little bit more about it. And it's they release birds every week. So there's fresh birds. They don't obviously don't put them out right before you go or anything. They do releases throughout the week and they do it throughout the entire season. So guys can come in and there's new birds getting pushed around. Some of them survive, some of them don't. But they get pushed around, get a little bit more wily. They're still pen raised birds. So they're not going to be as it's not as wild of an experience, but what I thought was really interesting is you pay $10 for a pheasant stamp in Wisconsin. 70% of that goes towards habitat creation in the state. So $7 of every $10 you pay for a pheasant stamp goes to creating habitat for a wild bird population, which I think is fantastic. And then $3 of that stamp goes towards that release program. So the released pheasant program is completely funded by the pheasant stamp. So guys that are going out there and doing this are the ones paying for it, which is perfect. And it's only 30% of that pheasant stamp. So having another 70% of that going to create habitat, I think is a great program for Wisconsin. And I know in some small pockets of the state, they are growing some wild birds. It's still a lot of released birds around the area, but hopefully they can create more habitat and get a better wild
and
bird.
What I'm getting from that is 100% of it is giving back.
Yeah. This for
which
the
is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was great. So we went out, we wanted to shoot one for this video that we were making out there at Horicon, and I got a tip to go to one spot, and there was two parking areas in this particular location, and they're like, go to the south one. Everybody parks in the north one, and the birds kind of get pushed south. So I went to the south one, and I saw a pheasant. I saw a rooster. So I kind of knew where one was, and I grabbed my gun and some cameras and grabbed Tiny and Mika, actually. And Tiny found it rather quickly, and we got our bird and then went back to looking for waterfowl. And we got to see, I mean, there was 150,000 ducks on the federal side. They say 150,000 mallards. I didn't see that many mallards while I was there, but there were gadwall and spoonies and widgeon, all sorts of waterfowl over there. So many gadwall. So I just think I got some really cool footage of some of these ducks. I'm really excited to share that on the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. So go there and check it out while you're online. Make sure to follow us on social media as well. Sporting Journal Radio here on YouTube or Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram. And Dan, you put a poll up on our Instagram page today.
I sure did. We wanted to look because we've been talking about deer hunting. That's the hot topic in Minnesota right now. And we wanted to know how deer season went for you guys. So I put up a poll on how it went for everybody. Well, let's see if I can do this here. Uh-oh. And so let's see, what did people say? I don't know why we can't see the results. I'll find that here in a second. Bottom line, people said that majority of the people who responded to the poll said they have seen less deer this year than last year. Why that is, I don't know. I don't know if it's more pressure or bad winter or predators, but that's what the consensus is, and I would say I agree with that. I saw one deer opening weekend, and it was dead. My dad shot it.
Weather pattern, at least in our area, is not helping either.
What's that, David?
I think the weather pattern in our area is not helping either.
It's too warm? Or
the warm weather, yeah. Just, I didn't see anything this weekend when I hunted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing. But it was warm, and the cameras were all the deer were nocturnal.
Oh, interesting.
So, I don't know.
All right. Different year.
So
if you would like to, we'd like to hear from you. Go vote in our Instagram poll. I don't know if that'll still be up by the time this airs. I suppose that's on our story.
Nope. Yeah, it'll be gone. All right, just go there anyways. Yeah. You've got our Instagram. You can watch. That's right. We put up snippets of the show every week that you can go check out. And then, or you just watch the full show and you don't have to do that. But go give us a follow on Instagram if you haven't, at sporting.journal.radio.
Now, to be fair, I haven't really had much access to the internet while I've been on the road and traveling, but I definitely haven't seen as many pictures on social media. That's how I've been judging how it went for everybody, is I just haven't been seeing a lot of pictures posted of nice bucks or dead deer in general. I've seen a few, but it seems like it hasn't been as good this year.
There was a CO in the area I hunt over the weekend, and I'd heard he checked over 100 people, and I think only 6 had deer.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
So pretty slow.
It'll be fun to see the harvest report when it comes out, whenever that comes out from the DNR on deer registered and all that fun jazz. I'm sure they're probably compiling it right now. Maybe it'll be out by the time the show comes out, but it'll be, we'll be sure to share those numbers. So check out www.sportingjournalradio.com for all that fun info. We just put up a news story from the DNR about feral pigs. Go check that out.
Yeah, something about feral pig sightings by the Canadian border.
Well, yeah.
Is that in Minnesota? Do we know?
Maybe.
I'd assume.
Otherwise, what they're talking about is they're taking input on, they're getting ready basically for the invasion of pigs, it sounds like, and released mink, which is really odd. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, people are, like, activists are going to mink farms.
Yeah, and that's stupid.
Setting them all free.
Sabotaging.
Yeah. But so they're getting ready for, you know, what they're going to do if we have a pig problem, which by the sounds of it is probably inevitable.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too, no. But it's one of those things. It's like invasive species. It's probably coming, so let's get ready for it. Maybe it doesn't, but it's better to be ready for it than just have 1,000 pigs show up and we don't have a plan for it. But
we don't need it, and I've hunted them in Texas. David, I know you've done it. It's fun. The meat's good, but the damage they do is ridiculous. So if you're listening or watching this and you're like, oh, dang, it'd be so much fun to have feral pigs to hunt around here, don't do it, man. Because that's what's happening is people are just taking them and releasing them so they got something to hunt around there. It's like, it's a bad, bad idea. Don't do it. Saskatchewan has got feral pigs. And I'm wondering if these Canadian-U.S. border sightings are in North Dakota and they're worried about them getting closer and closer to Minnesota.
It's very possible. I mean, the habitat The landscape of the Manitoba border and Minnesota border is similar enough to the North Dakota-Saskatchewan border, North Dakota-Manitoba border, that basically anything that's happening over there on the southern part is probably going to happen over here, at least on kind of the Manitoba side. Now, that you swing over to the east and the Ontario side, obviously, is a little different. And if you saw a feral pig in the northeast border of Minnesota and Canada, that'd be interesting.
Be
yeah. running through the boundary waters and there's pigs all around. That'd be weird.
I'd like to see them trying to root through that soil that's non-existent.
Yeah. The rock, sand. Just banging heads on rocks.
Canadian Shield.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to grow big deer, you got to manage for big deer. And I don't know if we'll ever do it again here in Minnesota because of CWD, but Iowa now has a new requirement this year that hunters who harvest a buck must measure and report if the animal's main beam is above or below 14 inches. And it's not, you know, they don't have, it's not an APR restriction on what you can shoot, but if you shoot one, you have to measure it, and it helps them track and age the deer, and it helps them track to see if they're growing big bucks down there. So is that something you guys would like to see here in Minnesota?
I would just better management. Yes.
Yeah. I'd just be in favor of antler point restriction. I got passed on a really nice deer, or not really nice, but what will be a really nice deer in a few years just this morning. And I looked at the body. I'm like, man, there's some big back straps on that. Mm-hmm. But then it, you know, let it walk and I hope it survives, but it might not. It might be dead right now because the neighbor might have shot it or who knows. And it'd be nice to know, and granted, that deer would be legal for as far as APR, but it'd be nice to know that some of these smaller, like young basket sixes and whatnot, will survive.
2.5-year-old deer.
Yeah, then turn into nicer deer. And I'll be honest, I've been guilty of shooting young deer. I like venison. I want to I'm going to harvest venison, but when it's possible, I'm all in favor of taking a doe instead of a smaller buck. But at the same time, I'm not going to fault people for trying to fill the freezer.
Yeah, that's always
it's hard, but
a tough question. But that's what they're saying is like a 14-inch main beam is the difference between a 1.5 and a 2.5-year-old deer's what they were talking about a lot, I guess, down in Iowa. Iowa DNR's Instagram is where I saw that story originally. So if you want to learn more about how they're managing their deer down there, go give them a follow on social media. And to be fair, I haven't seen, you know, I was really worried about nice bucks or, you know, bucks that could use another year getting shot by neighbors this year around here. And I haven't really seen that here too much yet. So we'll see what happens after this second weekend. But so far, it seems like the nice deer have gone. And, you know, it's different also for kids if they want to shoot a smaller buck or whatever. That doesn't bother me at all.
Older hunters, too.
Yeah, and older hunters. Yeah,
absolutely.
But I would love to see some people let deer grow.
Yeah.
Let bucks grow. So, but you do you. And get out there, enjoy it, be safe. Good luck this next weekend. We got a lot of discussion coming up. We're going to talk fishing with Joe Henry here in a second. And then we're going to get into a really interesting discussion with Joe Genzel from Ducks Unlimited about the commercialization of waterfowl hunting. How it can be good, how it's been bad, and what the answer is to grow the sport and keep numbers from declining. More coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTEC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTEC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at HaybaleHeights.com. That's HaybaleHeights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart over there. And now we're going to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, it was a great trip up to Lake of the Woods again last week. We did a bunch of walking for grouse. We did some layout boat duck hunting. We didn't do any fishing. I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you, though. It's real life this time of year. You know, I mean, are the fish there? Yep. Are they biting? Absolutely. Problem is, you got deer hunting. You got 6 inches of snow on the ground up there. That's 6 people out. You do have some ice on some back bays up at the northwest angle, Young's Bay. I know you showed a video. It had some ice. People are pulling their boats. Some of the back bays on the south shore and even on the Rainy River, the back bays are getting iced up. There are some accesses on, you know, both on the lake to get there and the river, but it just makes it more difficult. People are in the woods. People are looking forward to ice fishing. I mean, it's just that part of it. Now, I tell you this. Just watching social media, some of the guides, a lot of the people that are fishing right now are guides just fun fishing. And yeah, they're all doing real well fishing. You know, I know, I won't mention names, but I mean, a bunch of them are out. In fact, they're catching walleyes on the river and they're also catching some nice sturgeon too.
And I heard that the musky fishing, particularly up at the angle up there, was really good this year. And I heard that there was a lot of people chasing them this year up there too.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, fall, I mean, you know, fall's that time that the muskies, like all the other fish, put the feed bag on. You know, you get them isolated in certain areas, such as neck down areas where they're current, they're chasing tulibies. You can troll for them more successfully this time of year. So just, and you get some big fish, you know, those fish are big. So a lot of good things for the musky anglers this time of year. I'll say, though, it's interesting. It's kind of cool because we know right now, I mean, anybody that's been on that lake knows that across that whole south shore in different spots, Pine Island, I mentioned some areas, Pine Island, you know, Morris Point, Zipple Bay, Long Point, that whole area, there's different pockets of nice schools of walleyes chasing emerald shiners. And those fish are out in about 22 to 26 feet of water. That bodes very well for early ice. You know, and where we put our houses, those fish are going to hold there because there's bait, we believe. They do most every year. And it should be some good early ice fishing. You know, we normally get our, Mother Nature determines, Brett, but on average, we get our day houses out, the ones that you don't sleep in, usually about December 10th, give or take. People that like spearfishing for pike, they'll get on those back bays at the end of November. And, you know, we do have a few resorts that even do the spear fishing if a person doesn't have the equipment or the know-how. And so there are some nice opportunities that will be coming up here pretty darn quick.
So I know some of the bars and restaurants are closed for cleaning and transition and things like that. And when do they historically start to open back up and get people out ice fishing and things like that?
Usually the beginning of December is when they start opening up again. And then, you know, as far as ice fishing goes, I mentioned they get the day houses out, you know, around December 10th. So, you know, if they open up right around that first part of December, people that come with four-wheelers or ATVs or snowmobiles and their own collapsible fish houses, you know, they can get on the ice just even a little bit earlier than that. You know, I say this every year, but, you know, these resorts, they're out there staking their trails or their ice roads. They know where the good ice is. They know where the bad ice is. They know where the good ice formed. They know where the cracks are. They know where the springs are. They know all this stuff. So what they do is they mark and stake and groom and flood and chop down ice and do all this stuff to the ice to make sure that that marked trail is going to be a safe way of passage. You know, what you don't want to do is think, hey, I'm going to save 10, 15 bucks and go on my own. That's not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it because of the measly 10 or 15 bucks. I'm saying just common sense, safety. Also, stay on the trail. You know, don't think, hey, I'm going to go off the trail and I'm going to go and get off all by myself. It's going to be better fishing. you know, you do that and you could go into an area that's uncharted and you just, you don't know what you're going to run into. That's when people get themselves in trouble, is when they go off the marked trail, they don't listen to the suggestions of the outfitters. But normally what they'll do, Brett, is they'll have a nice trail marked out to some good fishing area where they know the fish are. And then you can spread out, and just communication with them is super helpful.
Do you want to talk about where you're headed today?
Well, I'm just heading down to St. Paul. I have to do a little bit of a testifying on behalf of the tourism industry in Minnesota. I'm on a board of directors for both the Minnesota Association Convention and Visitor Bureaus, as well as Hospitality Minnesota. And, you know, one of the things we fight for and advocate for is, you know, tourism in Minnesota. And every once in a while, that might mean I have to go down and testify to make sure that our lodging tax stays intact and different things like that. So I, you know, today's one of those days I have to put a suit on and shoot down to the Twin Cities and wear a different hat myself. And then, of course, I'll get back to, you know, Lake of the Woods and everything that it has to encompass.
Well, good luck in the Twin Cities. We'll be praying for you.
what aspect is it that I'll do well, that I'm safe? What aspect of that, Brett?
You, well, let your imagination take over.
Well, I knew I'd get Danny going on that one, boy. I know I'd wake him up.
Well, and you live there for 18 years, the flashbacks come back.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. If people want to plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, what should they do?
You know what? Hey, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to ottertaillakescountry.com. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTEC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And ICAST and FTEC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Life is full of adventures. Get the most out of them with the help of a primary care team you can count on. At Marshfield Clinic Health System, primary care is dedicated to keeping you well when you're up, getting you back to yourself when you're down, and most importantly, helping you enjoy each adventure with confidence. Request your primary care appointment at a Marshfield Clinic location near you. Visit marshfieldclinic.org/primary care.
Football season is back, and no matter which home team you root for, there's one thing everyone in the Midwest can agree on. If you're tailgating or grilling at home, nothing beats a freshly baked Village Hearth bun. An old-fashioned hot dog bun is the perfect accompaniment for a brat or a hot dog and all the toppings your little heart desires. And for the best burgers, you just can't beat the Village Hearth classic bun. So head to the store and pick up some Village Hearth buns. The weekend is almost here.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance of snow today, otherwise overcast. Highs around 40, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Mixed precipitation likely. Lows around 32. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 48. dry with temperatures above average Monday and Tuesday and highs from the upper 40s to the lower 50s. Another look at the short range, a high of 40 today. Lows level off around 32 tonight. We should top off around 48 tomorrow. A dusting of snow tonight. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 33.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the radio network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe watching this on YouTube. Make sure you like it, share it, subscribe to our channel. We've got a really interesting discussion for you right now. As everyone tries to figure out the next step in the outdoor world when it comes to recruiting hunters, declining license sales, improving habitat, what's the right answer? What's the right strategy and approach? Is it a mixture of a number of things? Probably. Is it's not a one-size-fits-all. What works here may not work here, and what works here may not work here, but maybe this works in both places. And it's always interesting trying to find the answers, and we're constantly going to be looking for those answers as the landscape is ever-changing. And one thing that I've been talking about a lot lately is access. You know, when it comes to hunter recruitment, hunting opportunities, things like that, to me, having access for hunters is the number one most important thing. Now, a lot of those other things are important as well, too, recruitment, things like that. But having access is the most important thing. And I came across an article in Outdoor Life recently written by Joe Genzel from Ducks Unlimited. And I met him at the Aglow Conference in Brainerd, or Bemidji this year. And I said, I got to have you on to talk about this because this is a pretty interesting story. The article was called, Are There Too Many? Here it is. Is a commercialization of waterfowl good for duck hunting? And there's pretty interesting points on both sides of that discussion. And Joe joins us right now here on the show to talk about this article that he's written. Joe, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me, Brett.
You bet. Thanks for coming on because this is a really important topic. As somebody that's worked on the guiding side of things and has also done a lot of freelance hunting. I do a lot of traveling, so I hunt in a lot of other states, sometimes freelancing, sometimes going with guides. You know, sometimes those outfitters bring us in to film and create some marketing materials for them. So we've seen, you know, both sides of this discussion. I'm not even going to call it an argument. I'm going to call it a discussion. I've seen both sides of it. And I think we could really spend a lot of time digging in to this discussion. But where did this article come about? Why did you decide to write this article?
Well, I think I wrote it a few years ago while I was still working at Outdoor Life. And I think like a lot of it stems for me from coming from a place where there isn't a ton of access. So I live in Illinois. And we just, I grew up being able to hunt the Illinois River, which was completely, you know, public when I was a kid. But now into my 40s, you basically like pretty much have to belong to a club, to hunt the Illinois River because the property line extends out to the channel now. So, any kind of, you're not even like, even if you're an angler, you can't, anchor your boat, you know, or else it's considered trespassing, you know, so you can't even hunt, you know, from a boat blind, right? Legally,
wow.
That doesn't mean like some people don't, you know, try, and do it anyways, because, you know, Illinois just doesn't have that many conservation officers right now. But like, I think the like where I grew up and like where I came from kind of just because I haven't been able because I'm not surrounded by a lot of public land was one of the reasons why. But also like you guys, I've been able to hunt, you know, around the country and kind of see like what has happened in different states in terms of, you know, outfitters, you know, leasing up properties. And my gripe, like I don't, you know, a lot of outfitters are doing, you know, a lot of good for ducks. You know, I mean, any outfitter that's creating habitat, you know, that's important stuff. It's expensive to create wetlands. So like, I don't begrudge anyone that's doing that. I guess at the same time, it's just a lot of my buddies like grew up in these rural areas in like Kansas, Oklahoma, and basically like they just kind of lost out on those places to hunt because there's like just this infatuation with, you know, getting 10 or 15 guys in a field and, you know, killing 100, you know, lesser Canadas. It's just like they've basically just kind of like lost out on their, you know, their boyhood spots. And so I just wanted to kind of like dive a little bit, you know, deeper into that.
Yeah, you brought up a good point that a lot of these guide services are creating habitat, and that's kind of the capitalist model, right? Where private businesses are creating jobs, are benefiting habitat, benefiting wildlife at maybe the expense of some of the people that can't afford to do it. And that's obviously the negative impact of it, but we're not relying on some state agencies to take our tax dollars, take everybody's tax dollars or license sales dollars to go try to create projects. We all know how it is when the government's involved. It doesn't always go the right way. It doesn't always go the best way. Sometimes it takes forever. Sometimes they do great work, of course. But, you know, being able to let, you know, private entity or private citizen business be able to create some of the habitat is good. But then you run into a problem where you hear guys in the South talking about all this habitat being created in the middle part of the migration, short stopping birds or leasing up all the land that, you know, some of the freelancers used to hunt on. You hear the same argument in deer hunting too, that bow hunters are leasing up all the land or hunting all the land and keeping it private, and you can't go knock on the door down the road anymore to deer hunt. A lot of that is happening with waterfowl too. So, you know, trying to figure out what the right answer is, it's a difficult question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because I mean, I think the answer is different for, like, depending on where you live. Like, you know, I live in Illinois, and it's not really an outfitter problem. It's an access problem. There's just not that much property here to hunt. Like, you know, good, and what I would call like good duck hunting, unless you like have a considerable amount of money to pay for those properties or invest in a club. You know, my workaround is, you know, I border a lot of other Great Lakes states. There's a lot of public land around the Great Lakes. And so like, I kind of look at my calendar, pay attention to the weather and, you know, go to some of those places, you know, maybe 2-3 times a year, to have, you know, a couple good hunts, each time. And then like I have a couple of, you know, places here that when the weather is like absolutely, you know, perfect, you know, we can do pretty well. So just kind of it's hard to know. Like if you live in Oklahoma, or Kansas or North Texas, like I don't like it's just tough. I mean, I've hunted Southeast Kansas for several years with one of my buddies. And you know, the river systems are still pretty accessible in some areas, but also like you have to have all that gear. You have to know what you're doing.
Right.
And there's only like certain times a year where you can really shoot, it's mostly going to shoot mallards, on the river. You know, it has to be, you know, cold, and everything else has to be locked up. And I mean, so it's just tough.
It is really tough. And waterfowling is not a cheap sport to freelance in. You need all the gear. And if you want to chase divers, you need diver gear and boats and waders. If you want to hunt in the field, you need field decoys and layouts or A-frames. You need specialized gear for the type of waterfowl hunting you're going to do. So I know a lot of guys that maybe they've got a little bit extra income, they have no problem paying a guide to go do it, because it's a small investment compared to the larger investment, particularly if you don't have enough time to justify that expense of buying all that equipment yourself. And like we just went on a layout boat hunt up at the Northwest Angle, and it was 15 degrees out. Like, I'm not going to go do that. Dan and I went and do that. Dan, are you going to go buy a layout boat and go up to the angle when it's 15 degrees outside?
No.
No.
No, I'm very happy to just pay someone to take me out and do that.
Our guest is Joe Genzel from Ducks Unlimited, talking about public access and what effect commercialization has on the waterfowl hunting industry and waterfowl hunting access. More Joe when we come back. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
152 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Life is full of adventures. Get the most out of them with the help of a primary care team you can count on. At Marshfield Clinic Health System, primary care is dedicated to keeping you well when you're up, getting you back to yourself when you're down, and most importantly, helping you enjoy each adventure with confidence. Request your primary care appointment at a Marshfield Clinic location near you. Visit marshfieldclinic.org/primary care.
Shawamigan Home Furnishings salutes our brave men and women in uniform, past and present. Thank you for your service and your sacrifice. Shawamigan Home Furnishings in downtown Park Falls and Main Street in Ashland, Wisconsin. They have a great variety of furniture ready to go, including mattresses, recliners, sectionals, and up north style furniture. All in stock and available without delay. Shawamigan Home Furnishings, furnishing your home with pride.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on 98Q Country, WCQM 98.3 FM, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's that time of year again, Wisconsin. Hunting season is back. Before you head out, remember that safety is always the number one target for a successful hunt. So when you're out in the woods this season, practice these simple tips. Treat every firearm like it's loaded. Always point your muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and don't touch the trigger until you're ready to shoot. For more safety tips, visit dnr.wisconsin.gov. Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance of snow today, otherwise overcast. Highs around 40, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. cloudy again. Tonight, mixed precipitation likely. Lows around 32. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 48. Dry with temperatures above average Monday and Tuesday, and highs from the upper 40s to the lower 50s. Another look at the short range. A high of 40 today. Lows level off around 32 tonight. We should top off around 48 tomorrow. A dusting of snow tonight. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 33.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed a bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest is Joe Genzel from Ducks Unlimited. What do you think, and then you can get into discussion if birds are staying in Canada longer because of more food sources, and then when things freeze up, they're getting pushed by major weather events. And in our case, being in Minnesota, sometimes those same weather events come through Minnesota. So if they're getting pushed out of Canada by weather, they might be getting pushed right out of Minnesota too as the same front comes through. So, you know, how do we address issues like that?
It's difficult, you know, to say, but like you just kind of have to be like, as a hunter, more migratory, you know. You just have to be willing to travel if you you know, want to get on good duck hunts a lot of the times, or if you want to sustain it, you know. Or you just have to be happy with, you know, what you get in the window that you do. I mean, I grew up here where, you know, Fulton County is about 20 minutes from me. It was a huge area for Canada geese. There was a, you know, a power plant there that kept everything open. You know, you get, you know, upwards of 250,000 like Canada geese, at the height of the migration. And there's a pit in every field. Now it's a ghost town, you know. Nobody like here field hunts for Canada geese. I mean, I finally sold my honker decoys like this year after, I mean, I hadn't been in I haven't field hunted in probably, you know, 7 or 8 years. And like, you know, guys drove down from the suburbs of Chicago to come get them, because like they don't really, you know, go any further south than that. Or if they do, they don't come to Peoria anymore. So yeah, I mean, I think you just have to be, you know, more adaptable, you know, to the migration, and, you know, be willing to, you know, go where they go. And I mean, not everybody can do that, you know, and that's
right.
That's the tough, you know, tough part about it is, you know, how do you keep, you know, more, as many people involved in the sport as there are now, in the future, when the places to hunt these birds are shrinking.
That's so interesting, because everything, you know, we've been talking about that here in Western Minnesota for a while now. And when I first moved out here about 10, 11 years ago, we'd still get, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 Canada geese staging up out here. And now, I mean, what have we been at, like 10,000, something like that? If we're lucky, we get like 10,000. And that's all happened in the last 10 years. And when I was out at Horicon this past week, they all were saying the same thing. In the last 10 years, everything has changed. And now you're saying in the last 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it's been, things are changing down there too. So are we, is it hunting pressure in these areas? Are the birds dispersing? Are they using cities, which are essentially giant refuges, more often? Are they migrating later, or what? I mean, I'm starting to see a pattern here, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, couldn't, you know, say. I think it's a combination of things. It can be, you know, hunting pressure, you know, lack of habitat. To me, the place where you have the most success on big Canada geese is in suburbs and like outside of cities, like
golf courses.
The biggest like concentrations I've seen of Canada geese in the last like, I don't know, like big Canada geese in the last 10 years is probably like out on Long Island. There's an amazing, you know, population of Canada's out there, but again, super hard to hunt them because, you know, there's like one or two outfitters out there that like actually like has a, you know, a house you can stay in and all that stuff. And even so, like the access is just so minuscule. People don't want you, you know, it is a lot of golf course like hunting, out there. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, I couldn't like give you a, there are people that will like say, oh, it's this. I mean, I think like you're saying, it's a combination of things. I mean, not like we don't get the cold winters, you know, like we used to, like whenever, like there are, we have a lot of strip mine lakes, you know, west of here. And you're talking like 150 foot lakes. So deep. And, you know, when I was a kid and in high school, you know, those lakes would actually freeze. So it got, you know, cold. Wow. Like it was like sustainable, like, you know, it got cold enough to where that all would freeze. And when that happened, like then, you know, all those geese would concentrate on that warm water from the power plant discharge. And it was like, you know, just a gauntlet for them every single day. Cause they're going to have to come out there. You know, they're coming out once a day to feed, you know, and there's a pit in every field.
Hmm. Well, and say what you want about hunting ducks on the water. But one thing I will say about Minnesota is we do have a lot of public lands, wildlife management areas where you can hunt sloughs. And obviously we got 10,000, 11,000 lakes, whatever it is, which is all public water, and our water is publicly owned here in Minnesota. So it's really interesting what you said about water ownership in Illinois. And I want to ask you to expound on that a little bit, because I had an interesting conversation with Mark Kackage at Horicon here this past week, and he said that back in the day, Horicon Marsh had a couple of duck clubs on it, and back then they owned part of the water. Mm. And somebody challenged that, and he went, I think he was on the old marsh skis, and he was going across the marsh, or maybe he was in a boat, I can't remember, and he went out through the water into somebody else's, and one of the other duck clubs called the CO on him, and they tried to find him, and I think he took him to court, and it set a precedence for water rights, which is used in a lot of cases, in a lot of other areas now, he was saying. So for you to be that close to, you know, that close to Horicon and have water rights the way that they are down there, that surprises me.
Yeah, and it's different on like different parts of the Illinois River, and then there's also like other like auxiliary like rivers that flow into the Illinois north of here, and you can hunt some of those. But like basically, like there are state owned like WMAs here, and you draw for those every summer. So like when I was a kid, and I still hunt them, and draw with a group of buddies every year. But so like when I was a kid, my dad would take me there, and like 10,000 people would show up for 26 blinds. Now like maybe 1,500 people show up. Like we, like our group draws like multiple blinds every year. So it's pretty wild. They do a similar thing at Realfoot in Tennessee now. But for the that's basically your river access. But I don't understand like why, you know, I don't understand a lot of things that Illinois decides to do, but, I don't know why that rule, like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, somebody decided to, you know, implement that rule. And I don't know, we also have, it, it's, it's confounding and confusing. You know, even for me, there's, even if you own the property that borders the water, like if you have neighbors that are within like 300 feet of where you'll, or 300 yards of where you'll be hunting, you need to ask them for permission too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the exact like yardage, but it's something like that. Cause
is that a safety issue then?
I guess. but I mean, I think it's just like, you know, it's just like kind of another like hoop, you know, that you have to.
That's so wild. And I mean, I guess if I owned the land, I was going to say it'd be great because I would love to own the water in front of my place. But yeah, if you were fishing the river, and I don't know what kind of, you know, fishing is good there or not, but if you were fishing that river and you got on a hole for walleyes or catfish,